the way. Okay, so we are looking at Colossians, yes, verses 15 through to 20-something, the end of the chapter. I can't decide whether to... Do you want to read all of the verses in one go, or do you want me to read the verse as I go through? All in one go, right? So, Pam's going to read the verses as they come up. Oh, sorry. I probably need one of those, like, personal lights, down lighter. Right. Have we finished squeaking? Pam's going to read it for us, okay, in the NIV. Well, the first one, and then I'll pick on somebody else. Right, so, verse 15, Pam. Somebody for verse 16?
Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts.
17?
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God.
Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord.
Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrong, and there is no favouritism.
So, I've called this talk Living in Peace. And peace, because the world dwells in you. At peace, because we do everything in Jesus' name and for him. At peace, because we promote Christian relationships in the home. And at peace, because we promote Christ at work. So, just want you amongst yourselves, what does it mean to have peace rule in our hearts? So just have a little chat amongst yourself, 2 minutes. I'm not going to take feedback, but just what do you think it means to have peace rule in your heart? Okay. Not sure I'm going to bring necessarily a great deal of light on it, but there's some aspects of it. Really, the ability to live in peace is directly related to how we centre our lives. If you think about it, that's fairly obvious. You know, if you are in a peaceful situation, you tend to be at peace. But it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So ruling in your hearts, if there's rules, there's usually somebody who makes sure that you keep to the rules. And the person who usually makes sure that you keep to the rules is the umpire. If you watched the women's rugby yesterday, which we won, you will know that the umpire is the person who keeps the rules. And really, the peace of Christ rule in your hearts is about letting the Lord umpire and decide what should and shouldn't be in your heart. We need to follow peace when we're making decisions. Too often we feel if we have X or if we do Y, we will be at peace. Or I want that, or it seems really good to me, and if that's all sorted out, there will be peace. But peace doesn't just happen out there. We have to choose it. And if we're at peace, we can often affect the environment around us and make it peaceful. Each of us is empowered by God to decide what it is that will rule our hearts and minds. We're given free will, so we can choose to do things that are wrong. We can choose to go our own way. We can choose to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. We have choice. But we can choose also to decide what it is that will rule in our hearts and minds. If we wait for everything to be perfect, we will not have peace. Because perfection isn't what it's about. It's about what's ruling in our hearts. Who gets to decide in our hearts? And we need to be thankful, have a thankful heart. It's really interesting. Doing a series in Colossians, you find that you're thinking about the same things over and over and over again. And it talks a lot about having a grateful heart, a thankful heart through Colossians. And it seems to just keep coming up again and again and again, just as knowing the word of God seems to come up a lot in Colossians. Because Colossians is a practical book. It's saying, this is how you ought to be living your life. These are some of the tools you need. This will help you to do that. So we need to practice having a thankful heart and looking for reasons to express appreciation and gratitude whilst we focus on our next step. Generally, we know when we've made the right decision about something because we do feel at peace about it. And you hear people say, I'm at peace about that. This bad thing's happening, but I'm at peace about it. It's not always the easy choice. I am so dedicated to the easy choice. You know what I mean? I don't like difficult choices. I like the easy choice. But even sometimes when I make the really easy choice, I know it's not the right one. Yeah? But it's just the easiest thing to do. We have to trust that God's got our best interests at heart. So that when we're making choices, if it's the right one, he will give us that sense of peace about what we're doing. It's not often I think of a song, but there's a really, really, really old song, which some of you may know. When I was looking it up, I had to go back to like the 1970s to find one, and Marion is just going to pitch it.
Peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to give, peace to live. My peace I give unto you.
I did tell you it was old. Even too old for you to remember it.
Never,
seriously never heard of it. Ah, yeah, Pam's nodding. I haven't just made it up. No, it's Maranatha, if you ever know anything about music publishing, etc. sort of thing. I thought it was a well-known one. Not normal for me to know a song that nobody else knows. But that's what it is. The Lord gives his peace to us. And it's a peace that you cannot get from the world. And it's a peace that the world cannot understand. Just as my friend cannot understand healing and believing that God intervenes in the world today, it's something that sort of peace that comes from God is not something that the world understands. We can get very excited and enthusiastic about things, and even in our excitement and enthusiasm, we know that it's not necessarily the right thing because we don't feel at peace about it. Now, feeling at peace isn't about me, easy option, and opting out about thinking about it at all. It's about actually, as Sue would say, knowing in your knower, right? That's the expression you use, isn't it? Knowing in your knower that the right decision's been made because you're at peace about it. So, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let it be the umpire about what you make decisions, since we're all called to peace. And be thankful, having a grateful heart. 16. Yeah. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Thankful again. See, two verses in a row. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. I want to ask you something, okay? What's it like in your head when you worry? Right? Just tell somebody. What's it like inside your head when you worry? Okay. I want to tell you, I'm not going to ask you what it's like inside your head. Some of you have got places I don't want to go. I am really good at meditating on worries. Okay? Really good at it. I let worries and anxieties roll around in my mind all day. I repeat the worries, you know, I keep going back to them. I look at the worries from different angles. I read into them how they're making me feel, and I'm just very, very good at worries and meditating on worry. What I need to challenge myself about is swapping my meditations about worry to meditating on the Word of God. I think the enemy lies to us. Well, I think we know the enemy lies to us. And we find it very easy to let worries fill our minds, etc. When we do the same thing with the Word of God, we sometimes find that really difficult to meditate, to have it there, to actually keep going back to it, keep looking at it from different angles, thinking about how it makes me feel, thinking about what it leads on to, etc. And that's a lie from the enemy that we find that difficult, because all of us have no problem meditating on worries. Right? And if we have no problem meditating on worries, that has to be from the enemy, because what we should be doing is meditating. And what it says, that the message of Christ dwell among you richly. We need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to challenge ourselves so that we repeat it, we look at it from different angles, We react to how it makes us feel. We allow it to lead us into other areas of thinking and other scriptures, etc. And we need to get better at it and replace the meditation about worry that we find easy to do and meditate on the Word of God. Then it goes on to say, meditate among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs. We think of admonishing as telling off. Right? If somebody goes, it's not a sentence anybody would actually use, but if they say, right, come over here, I need to admonish you. You go, oh, well, now what is it I've done? You know what I mean? Because that's how we think of admonish. And it talks there about the fact that we ought to be admonishing each other. It's not carte blanche for going around telling each other off. That's not what admonish means there. Admonish means to remind, to urge, to exhort, and then to warn. It's about building up rather than tearing down. Yeah? We've got so fixated on admonishment being a negative thing in today's society that we don't recognise the urge and the building up and the exhorting that admonishment means. We just take it as an opportunity to sort of slap somebody down. Yeah? And we need to actually change the mindset. There's a lot of mindset changing that's going on. And it says, through psalms, hymns and songs, I don't really go around spouting psalms at people. Sort of thing. It's interesting in morning prayer because you do a psalm, a bit of the Old Testament, a bit of the New Testament, and some of the psalms come up with things I've never heard of. I don't know if it's a translation, but it is good to have the psalms, but it's not something that comes naturally to me. But I do use hymns and songs. Now, I am not particularly somebody for whom worship is their spiritual pathway. I do not play music at home. I know that some of you are going to be horrified at that. It is not something I do naturally. I do not put music on to listen to. Right? Spoken word, always. But actually, spiritually, I do find that songs will speak to me. Right? So sometimes when we're doing the sung worship in the morning, something will strike me, whether it's a biblical truth or it's something, is it something that pulls you up short or whatever. I do find that the songs like that can help. And so we need to keep our hearts at peace and our thoughts disciplined as we dwell in the Word and we bring songs and things to each other, and that we are building each other up as we go along. 17. So, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Oh, do you think he's got a theme going? Yeah, not the theme I'm talking about, but still theme going, to God the Father through him. The world today is very self-driven. We decide what it is we want to do, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, what we decide to dress. Did you notice that we had a memo? So we've got the same colour trousers on, Sarah and I this morning. Yeah, no, not seriously. We decide what we think, we decide what we say, and we decide about our relationships, all right? Whatever. And we might discuss things with other people, but we are still self-driven. But this verse says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, okay? So everything that we do should be in Jesus' name. I don't know what plans you've got for this week, right? Would you be happy to have Jesus along with you when you're doing them? Yeah? Would you be happy? A lot of our plans are mundane. You have to do the laundry. Got to do the washing up. My dishwasher's broken. I'm doing more washing up than I normally do. Okay? You've got to cook. You've got to go to appointments. You've got to mow the lawn. You've got to do mundane things. Would Jesus be happy with you? Of course he'd be happy doing those with you. The question is, and all that you do, would you be happy to have Jesus with you? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because it doesn't matter whether you want him there or not. He's going to be there with you. Yeah, he's going to be there with you because he's there with you all the time. Now, it's not something where he just comes along for the highlights or the bad bits. He's there all the time. In the big things, Sunday morning, worship, etc., praying, the really boring bits, getting up and changing the beds and stuff like that, he's there with you all the time. And so that all that you do has to be pleasing to God, because that's what brings you that sense of peace. It's when your soul and your body is at war with what God wants that you don't find peace. So you've got to be happy and grateful, giving thanks to God the Father. God cares about everything that we do, the good and the bad, the exciting and the mundane, the easy and the difficult. If you can be thankful and praise God even in the difficult times, then you are at peace and you rob the enemy of much of his power. One of the things I find helpful for me, and hopefully helpful for other people, is when things are bad, for whatever your definition of bad is or something, of trying to turn that round to praise. Because when you turn it round to praise, you do find peace, and it does rob the enemy of his ability to make you dwell and meditate on the bad stuff, because it turns it back to the Lord. Complaining, I think, as part of the human condition, comes easily. Thanksgiving is something we need to work at. And the enemy will try to rob us of peace by trying to make us complainers rather than thanksgivers. 18 to 22, ideal one for me, not being a wife or a parent, to talk about this. I'm going to talk about it in the whole. I think the really important thing is, we can get very hung up on submitting and all the rest of it. The important thing about this was that Paul was turning something that was common at the time on its head. In Roman and Greek houses, sometimes they had the house rules posted up. Now, we all need rules. If you live in anarchy, things happened. You know, there is a rule in this country about which side of the road you drive on. And you keep to that rule unless you are overtaking. Otherwise, it would just be chaos, etc. There are rules that need to be kept. And he was taking some rules at the time and just turning them on their head. With the submit bit, I think the most important thing you need to keep in your head is that Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another. We all submit to one another in love. These verses, because it goes on to 22, which you don't need to put up, Peter, you can just leave, no, you did, it doesn't matter. But anyway, it goes on to 22, are about treating people well. It's about there being peace in the household. Freedom of choice is a sign of this age. You know, we are very aware of our rights, not so keen on our duties. I actually think it was Theo Comin many, many years ago who was talking to me about something, and he said, people nowadays are more interested in their rights than they are in their duties. Yeah? It's why, and people get very much nowadays, I think, get very hung up on, it's my right to... whatever it is. not it is my duty to submit to one another, to see love, to be at peace and things like that. So, it, and I think submit in our culture today has become a dirty word. Right? When you think of submit, you're thinking of being downtrodden and things like that. And it was very interesting with Anna and her stories that a lot of it was the culture of submission, sorry, men, in that particular culture of men over women was so great that it leads to huge injustices, huge iniquities. And I think we've got hung up about this idea of submitting. But I think if you read her book, okay, there's a whole Hindu bit attached to the stories in her book as well. And submission is never about tyranny of the most selfish in the household. It's never about being downtrodden. When Paul talks about submitting, he talks here not about inferiority. What he's talking about is the mutual respect on both sides. Neither side, parent, wife, child, husband, slave, master, should be arrogant or domineering or a doormat or using obedience as a condition for love. It's talking about the peace in the household. The duties of members of families are, he's talking about it being for the Lord, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And if that is what's at the heart, then you won't get what everybody tends to be terrified now about if you submit to somebody, that you will be overruled and downtrodden and used as a doormat and whatever. And it's not just husbands and wives. You sometimes see families where the children rule. Yeah? It's the children that rule. And none of that brings peace. None of it brings peace. You should always be operating in a sense where the rules that give each other more honour than you want for yourself. It's, I don't know where it is, but we're just talking about honouring and preferring each other. I know it's in one of the epistles. I was hoping somebody would go, it's in this one, for those that are taking notes, but I can't remember. But you know what I mean? That's really about what it means about peace in the household. And they were revolutionary because they took the known house rules where the master of the household, you know, was in and added them to them so that women, children and slaves were shown respect, not just the men, parents and masters. You know? And I think lots of people don't get any further than wives submit to your husbands and go, what? I'm assuming, because that's not being one, I don't know. Something. But he was adding to it, saying, yes, but.
Romans 12:10.
Right, Romans 12:10, it talks about honouring and preferring each other. So it was about, it wasn't just about husbands and wives, but about wives and husbands. It wasn't just about parents and children. It was about children and parents. It wasn't about masters and slaves. It was about slaves and masters. And it was about respect on both sides. You don't stay ever under any circumstances in an abusive... Well, you don't have to stay in an abusive relationship. Because if it's abusive, it's not about mutual respect. I'm not saying that, but it is about needing that respect for there to be peace in the household. So if there isn't mutual respect, you're responsible to do what is right regardless of what others do, but it isn't that you have to stay in somewhere where it's downtrodden. So if there's not peace in the home, you may need to draw other people in who you feel are full of wisdom. And then finally, in 23, 25, Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Okay? Peace at work. Whether you like or love your job is irrelevant. Some of you now get to choose what your job is. It might be volunteering, it might be tutoring, it might be family sitting, it could be all sorts of things. But this verse says that while you're doing it, remember you are working for the Lord and should cultivate being at peace in it. Excellence, honesty, integrity, integrity, respect for your boss, not always easy. It doesn't mean to say that you ignore if there's injustices going on, but respect for the role, even if you find it difficult for some reason, have respect for the boss. Not moaning about the bosses behind their backs. Difficult one. Lunch times can be quite difficult for that one. Treating others well are all things as a Christian in the workplace, even if it's a voluntary workplace, that we're called to. Doesn't matter where we come on the workplace hierarchy, we ultimately work for the Lord and we should be pursuing peace. Peace is not a passive thing. It's active. We have to choose it, cultivate it, recognise it, embrace it, and meditate on it in our thoughts, in our homes, and in our workplace by dwelling richly in the Word and living to please God in all that we do. Just going to pray. Father, if we know that we don't have peace in our hearts, Father, we pray that you will help us to cultivate peace. Father, if you know that we meditate more on our worries than we do on your word, Lord, help us to meditate on your word. Father, help us to bring peace into our homes, peace into our workplace, so that we can have that peace that the world does not understand, that peace that comes from you. And that, Father, we can be known by being people of peace. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, time for tea.